Fantasy Football Podcast, your Wednesday edition. Good times. Chris Vaccaro's here.
Yes, I am, Nando. An unbelievable week five in fantasy football and in the NFL. Great games, action-packed all week long, even straight through the Monday night game. Great games, and hopefully you didn't drop Kyle Pitts last week, Nando.
All right, well, you could have just said hi. You know, like, because I remember Brandon Marion Lee's back.
Hey, it's bye week, baby. So I had to come back and get you ready.
We missed the singing. We missed the singing on this show, Brandon, the last couple of weeks.
Oh, well, Nando used to call me Showboat Brandon sometimes because I was on a showboat doing musical theater in college, and he saw pictures, and so Showboat Brandon's back.
Well, first of all, I didn't know that was for public consumption. And secondly, I believe your sisters told me about Showboat.
Yeah, because they're evil. So they tell people anyway. So I'm just getting ahead of the joke. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm in on it. You know,
I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind referring to you as Showboat for the rest of this. But it's Chris's nickname, too. So that mess is going to mess things up.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So we got to just go with Chris has overtaken Showboat, but I'm the singing Showboat, I guess would be the way to put it.
Yes. So let's get to it. We got a great show today. We had a great show before Chris Vaccaro demanded we put seven things into the rundown. So just to keep him happy early, let's get to his stuff first, which is actually good stuff, Chrissy. I do want to talk about the Steelers offense. I think it's really interesting. Let's start there. And stop me when you think something I'm saying is wrong, just in the quick little intro.
No, this shouldn't take long. But go ahead.
Ben Roethlisberger's a mess. Juju Smith-Schuster is out. Najee Harris had an injury in the game last week that everyone seemed concerned about at the time, but no one seems to be concerned about right now. This has gone so completely 180 from what the Steelers had been the last couple of years. Even after Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown were gone, they still recovered. They were fine. You had a great receiving core. Ben Roethlisberger before last year was, you know, healthy and chucking the ball. Mm-hmm. And now they got a new offensive coordinator, and it's like just I would call it a mess. Are you cool calling it a mess?
There's two of us here, Nando. You got to tell us.
I was like Chris opine first because this is your.
No, you know what? Yeah, it is a mess. It's not looking good in Pittsburgh. Big Ben is unhappy. He's got his new coordinator trying to design new plays for him and put men in motion, and he's not liking it. But you know, he's shot. You know, what can we do? You know, he's 39 years old, and the offense is heading south. Juju Smith-Schuster gets hurt this past week, and he's out for the year. But Chase Claypool emerges and puts up big numbers. And going forward, I mean, is the team going anywhere? No. I think it's the time to blow up the Steelers after this year. But for fantasy purposes, this is a three-man offense, possibly a fourth. I'll get to the fourth guy I think is emerging here. But Diontae Johnson and Claypool are going to be solid wide receiver twos going forward with Juju. Because that was listen, all three of these receivers were being drafted in the top 75 off the board. But the caveat to drafting them was, hey, if one of them went down, the other two are going to be like really intriguing even more. Diontae Johnson was standalone, like a solid number two receiver to begin with, but now he could rival wide receiver one numbers, I think, with the volume he's going to see. And Claypool, a number two. But don't forget this tight end, Freiermuth. You know, with Juju out of the offense, running routes, around the line of scrimmage, I think Freiermuth could be one of those sneaky tight end adds going forward that can help the tight end needy teams and maybe be one of those 5-for-50 type tight ends in Pittsburgh as a third option in the pass game.
Brandon, did you have anything invested in the Steelers offense? Were you on it?
Well, as I said on the show numerous times, I was big on Najee Harris because I believed that he was going to get touches. And he's actually the only of the three wide receivers and him, which were the big people that were being drafted early. He's the only one who hasn't missed a game. So that's good. Also, the gazillions of touches that he's getting, whether it's in the passing game or in the running game. But the real problem here is that they're going to have to figure out how to run the ball at least a little bit here. They are the second fewest rushing yards per game in the National Football League. Only the Dolphins have less. They're averaging 70.4 to 73.6 for the Steelers. Even the New York Jets are averaging over 74 yards per game rushing, not the Steelers. They need to figure out ways to get this offense going. And I think without Juju there, at least to keep defenses honest, I think it's going to be weird. I like the Freiermuth call. Obviously, James Washington's a big one that everyone's talking about. I think that's going to be a thing. And I cannot wait for Eric Ebron to steal touchdowns moving forward and all of us to cry. You know it's coming. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm waiting. Do not pick up Eric Ebron, though. But the point is that that's what this offense is right now. Najee Harris, though, still super solid. I would almost think about this might be the week that you want to, I know this sounds weird, you might be able to actually get him lower because people are so down on the Pittsburgh offense. And I think out of all the running backs this year, he is just one of the most consistent, and I think that will continue, if not more so, moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's real life compared to fantasy here when you look at the Pittsburgh run game. You know, we're playing fantasy. We don't care that they're struggling in the run game because at the end of the day, you look up at Najee Harris's you know, numbers, and they're there. He's getting, you know, a ton of work in the pass game. He's getting in the end zone, gets enough carries and action to, you know, support him as a what he is, a top 10 running back every single week, a lock and load RB1. So are they struggling in the run game? Yeah, we knew that their offensive line was garbage coming into the year, and it's held up true. It's not that good. But you know, he's a PPR monster out of the backfield. And last point on the Steelers, like you said, with Ebron, hopefully they faded him out of this offense and they're going to turn it over, knowing that this team really isn't going too far. Let's give the tight end position over fully to the young kid, Pat Freiermuth.
I just want to make sure. So Najee Harris has a calf, quote-unquote, injury. I mean,
I thought it was a cramp. He left with cramps. They're saying it's an actual injury or no?
No, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is something where maybe it's worse than they're letting on. I have no idea. I'm just making sure we're not worried about this at all because calves are weird.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to
hear it. They can take someone out, yeah.
Okay.
I thought they said like it was like this general soreness cramp. It's very vague.
He said cramps.
I mean, you're right.
Harris
keep your
said
eye
cramps.
On it.
Harris said it was cramps and he's fine. So I'm gonna go with that. But if you see something about an injury, then
so naive.
Yeah.
He just believes anything these players say. Yeah.
Well, that's the truth. But you know, the guy still, you know, carried, you know, the ball for 23 times. They're not gonna go away from him, and certainly his efficiency in the passing game with Juju out, they're going to use him even more. I know that sounds bizarre. Maybe not more, but he'll continue this same level, which is great in fantasy right now, right? So, you know, I don't see them going anywhere else unless something really bad happens. But yeah, keep your eye out. Obviously, you know, this is a Wednesday show, so keep your eye on the injuries. But what I'm seeing is pretty mild. So I'm hoping that's the case because, man, if Harris isn't there, then yeah, I start getting sad.
Let me just throw this out. I mean, we're talking about Najee Harris and how good he is. Would you trade away your Nick Chubb for him? Chris?
You're talking to someone that's in love with Nick Chubb.
I know, that's why I picked Nick Chubb.
No, I couldn't do it. But it's a fair trade.
I don't like doing that because it's like for like. I mean, one of them might score 10 more fantasy points this season. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're kind of the same level.
I mean, it's a trade
you should
make, honestly, if you're, you know, you want Harris over Chubb just because, you know, Harris is a 95% snap rate. You know, he just doesn't leave the field. He gets the volume. He gets the pass game. Chubb is, you know, has to contend with the Kareem Hunt love. But you know, Chubb's on a better team with a great offensive line, and you saw what he can do this past week. Even with 50% of the work, is he could put up the 25 easy fantasy points because the holes are wide open, and he gets in the end zone a lot more. So, you know, it's volume over efficiency, I guess, when you're looking at Harris or Chubb. But I think most people would say, hey, no, you got to give me Harris in that deal over Nick Chubb.
Are any of the wide receivers, would you say no in a trade? And I know it gets into what do you need and stuff, but like Brandon, like if someone's like a give me Davante Adams, give me Tyreek Hill for my Najee Harris, would you see more value in Harris?
If I have great wide receivers underneath, maybe. Yeah, because the running back position is so tough right now. There aren't a lot of running backs that I feel great about on a week-to-week basis. And so I think it depends how I feel about the rest of my wide receiver core, of course. But I do think that those are things that I would consider maybe. I mean, that's a little steep, but certainly I would be open. I really do. I think that the running back position right now is the harder one to fill than wide receiver.
Yeah, you're always taking a stud RB1 over a stud wide receiver one right now in today's fantasy landscape, the way the year is shaping up, in my opinion.
I just wanted to make sure he'd entered that conversation completely. No, he's like, to that point, you know?
Right. He has to, yeah, especially because he's the only person getting over 90% of the snaps in the National Football League who's a running back. Literally, he's it. So you have to, yeah.
All right, let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks, who are going to be without Russell Wilson. I know Chris wanted to talk about this because of the trickle-down effect to the rest of the offense, but I wanted to quickly bring up Geno Smith. I feel like...
Of course you do.
I feel like he hasn't got a fair shake. I mean, he was the Jets quarterback and was, you know, everyone coming off the Jets gets that stench. Mm-hmm. They were a joke. But that one game when he started for the Giants, when they ended Eli Manning's streak, dude came in under, like, crazy pressure. His starting wide receiver was Tavarius King.
Okay, well, this was in, like, what, 97, I believe?
He's been backing up
Russell Wilson for, like, the last three decades and hasn't played. So what are we going to hang our hat on here with Geno Smith?
I'm going to hang my hat on Geno Smith. Instead of worrying about, what's going to happen to Lockett, what's going to happen to Metcalf, you know, what's going to happen to Chris Carson or whoever the quarterback is.
Think this is going to be Davis Mills in the first two, three games when he took over for Houston and they're throwing for like 30 yards and they can't move the ball. I think Geno Smith will be able to move the ball. He's obviously a huge downgrade from Russell Wilson and the chemistry that he had with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I think both get, you know, pushed down a peg where Tyler Lockett was pushing for a, you know, back end wide receiver one season. I think you have to look at him as a back end two, high end wide receiver three now for these next month without Russ. And DK, I don't think you could look at him as a wide receiver one top 12 type without Russ. I think he goes down to about a wide receiver two. But the defense is so brutal in Seattle that they're going to be playing from behind. There's going to be the pass volume. And these two guys are still going to be able to contribute in your starting lineup. It's just not what it was with Russ Wilson. But please don't tell people to go out and start Geno Smith, Nando.
I'm not saying start Geno Smith. I'm saying, all right, maybe if you're in a Superflex league, spend a little money. Like, I spent $22 to get Geno Smith in the Superflex league.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I was in trouble. I mean, I have Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor.
Shame with Daniel Jones, too, because that didn't look good with the concussion. And I don't know if we see him this week versus the Rams.
All right, we're talking about Geno Smith now.
I know, but I'm just bouncing around because I want to get off the Geno Smith 20-minute conversation that you're going to try and
get us into. Geno Smith is going
to
run. He's going to run, and he's got incredible receivers. I mean, I don't know why people are off Geno Smith. They think he sucked when he was on the Jets and had no receivers.
Well, here's how I feel about this. This week they're at Pittsburgh, right? Okay, we know that Pittsburgh's kind of a hot mess, but still we're thinking that that's going to be an interesting game. Then it's New Orleans at home, Jacksonville at home. Then it's the bye. Now, Russell Wilson, God love him, but he thinks he's coming back in week 10 at Green Bay. I think that is a massively optimistic outlook from a man who's never missed a football game. And I get it. He's 32 years old. It's very impressive, the whole streak that he had there. Congratulations. But that is too early. So then you have your issues because you're at Green Bay, Arizona, at Washington, San Francisco. Whoa. Then in week 14, we're at Houston. But we got a problem here after the bye. So I actually don't think it's going to be too bad these first three games. Although, you know, Seattle, they want to get back to that ground and pound. You know, that's their whole thing. Well, now they're definitely going to do that if they don't have Russell Wilson. So
they might not have Chris Carson either, though, Brandon.
I know. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to ground and pound. And it's going to be it's a very weird deal here. So my problem is I'm just worried they're not going to have Geno Smith throw the ball. Right. So and especially against those teams, they may not need to. It depends. I mean, obviously the Seattle defense has been historically bad. So, it kind of can go either way. But certainly after the bye, I get really concerned. And I don't think, and especially if they don't win all three of these games, they have to win all three of these games to stay relevant in that league or in their division, right? They cannot go any more downhill. I don't know if they're going to rush Russell Wilson back. So I guess my feeling is, if I can get premium for DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett right now, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Just I'm looking at the schedule, and I feel like that is the smart decision.
I feel better about Geno Smith than the average bear, I guess. That's just my...
But I don't feel good about the play calling. And I don't feel good about their defense. And I don't feel good about the chances of them
I feel great
it.
About their defense. It's fantasy football. I love the fact that they're the worst defense in football. What's there not to feel great about? This isn't... We're not... It's not real life football. We're not worried
the reason
that
why real life
anywhere.
Affects it is because if they lose games, they are out of the running for the playoffs. And if they're out of the running for the playoffs, that means that Russell Wilson isn't coming back. That's why I don't like the defense.
No. When Russell Wilson's ready, he's coming back. This is an 18-week season. It's not like it's going to be... If he's ready to go in week 10 or 11, there's still seven or eight more games to go. They're not holding Russ Wilson out. You know, he's
right, but
when it's time to go, it's time to go.
Is by far the earliest timetable. So if they're not going to rush him back, if in week 10, he's still kind of in the middle. If they win all those games, which we would have thought if Russell Wilson was there, right? Then they, you know, that would be one thing. But if they start struggling, I think there's a possibility that they're like, listen, this is our dude. He's 32 years old. We want to make sure he's fully healed. And then we're all of a sudden to week 12. And now you may not have the chance to make your playoffs in your fantasy league, right? So we have to think a little bit farther. And that's why I don't like the defense, is because if they start losing games because their defense can't hold people like Jacksonville, which is very possible, then I just think they will give Russell, they will force Russell Wilson, because I know he wants to come back as soon as possible. This is not about him at all. But I think they might be like, yo, we need you to really be 110%, especially if Geno's functional, but it's the defense and we don't have a chance anyway. That's what I mean by that. Because that's going to affect your team.
Geno Smith is younger than Russell Wilson, by the way.
Yeah, if Russell Wilson's 32 years old. Yeah. I mean, he's not a young dude. He's, you know,
we
keep thinking
in mind that
he's
this is a finger, though, and not like a, you know, like a knee that he's trying to come back from, or like a, you know, a shoulder, something that could, you know, like really mess up his career. It's a finger. When it's ready to go and it's healed, he's going to be out there on the field. There's no like, let's save Russ from Russ. His knee is going to not hold up. It's a finger. So when it's ready to go, it's ready to go. But, you know, I just look at it, I guess, a little differently than you guys do. It's can we get Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf through these next 3 weeks and serviceable, you know, then hit the bye. And then if Russ is there, you know, after that, a week or two after, then he's ready to go. He's playing. If not, those are four bad defenses, Brandon, that you mentioned after the bye. Lockett and Metcalf are still going to be more than serviceable. So I'm not – I mean, it's a downgrade, like I said, for sure, but it's not the end of the world here with Geno at the helm for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
I love it. All right, fine. We'll get off Geno Smith for a minute.
Let's move on to Tavon Austin.
I love that it's not about the Seahawks. It's Geno Smith.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, exactly. I think Geno Smith played. Yeah. If you believe that Geno Smith is better than like everyone, you know, oh, he's terrible. Well, he's
what's
a joke.
Giving
he's
you? Wait, I just want to stop you right there now, because I need you to explain this. What's giving you the idea that he is what you saw 7 years ago as a Jet? Like, what are you going off of with Geno Smith?
That he's good?
Yeah.
He was like, okay when he came in.
I'm saying that I think
he did. He looked great.
Better than
not great, but you know he looked pretty good in the fourth quarter there last week. Yeah. He got them down the field. That's why I'm saying it's not going to be that huge of a drop off. It's not like Davis Mills, you know, like people.
Right.
It's not like that, but
it's not like he's Mike Glennon. And not to crap on Mike Glennon, but I mean like Geno Smith comes in playing the same style that Russell Wilson does.
Totally.
Which is what I think also helps the offense.
All right.
But
well,
the reason why Russell Wilson is so good is he's so efficient. His touchdown to pass ratio is insane, right? And even if Geno Smith is just like average at that, they are not going to score the same because of the play calling. That's my point. I'm talking about real football here. I am worried that they are going to say we can ground and pound. That's the way we're going to win football games with Geno Smith. Because that's how they feel about Russell Wilson, right? So they're definitely going to feel that way about Geno Smith. And that's my problem with the pass catchers, is that it's the coaching staff. It's not Geno. It's not the pass catchers themselves. It is the coaching staff and their philosophy, even with Chris Carson out. I mean, they are just like obsessed with establishing the run in a way that's just like so 1990s. And that's fine. Fine. We know that. But they're going to do that even more so. So it's not even Geno. It's like if he's not given the opportunities, he's not going to be able to do it. And again, I think we underestimate how efficient Russell Wilson is with the passes that he does make. So even if Geno is good, but not over the top like Russell Wilson, he's just not going to have the same impact from on your fantasy or for your fantasy teams. So that's why I'm saying, like, if I can get something massive for the two pass catchers that are like big time right now, Lockett, and this is interesting to me because I think real football is going to affect your fantasy team in this instance. And it's not about Geno to me; it's about the coaching staff.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Let's can we please move on from Geno Smith now, everyone?
No, amen.
No, all right.
let's jump back into the show now. And let's talk Kadarius Toney, Brandon Marion Lee. Where's your ranking of Kadarius Toney right now among wide receivers? I know Selfino wrote he was top 40 very loudly in the headline. Are you top 30, top 40? Is the sky the limit? Or is this like Sterling Shepard's coming back, man? This is gonna kind of mess up things.
I think top 40 is the accurate place to put him right now. I would like to see what this offense looks like with him and Sterling Shepard together before I get over the top, but he's obviously must add. I mean, 189 yards, 10 catches, obviously, on 13 targets. I don't love that he punched someone in a helmet because that's just dumb. Anytime that happens, I always think to myself, why? Why do people do this? But anyway, other than that, yeah, obviously must add. And everyone should be excited. This is fun. He's actually someone that's exciting on that you could have gotten on waivers. He's gone now, but hope you got him.
It's crazy. They just, right, Chris? Like, they just turned him on. Like, they were just like, nothing, 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 boom. Right? Like, it was,
well, okay. He missed time. He missed time in camp. So maybe he was a little bit behind with the playbook and everything like that. But, you know, hey, we drafted this guy first round, and it's time to shine. There's no way they could take him off the field now after what he's done these last couple weeks.
And by we, you're speaking for the entire New York Giants organization.
Absolutely. Sorry, put a little Giant fan in me there. But listen, you know, Kenny Galladay's going to miss the next week or hopefully two. And I say hopefully because I don't own any kind of Kenny Galladay. And I own a ton of Kadarius Toney. So the more pieces I could get out of this offense and let Kadarius Toney shine, the happier I am. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say back end wide receiver two going forward here for Kadarius Toney. Now, yes, Brandon is right. The Sterling Shepard coming back into the offense, if it's going to be this week or maybe another week away, is going to be interesting to me. But here's my prediction on this offense. Evan Ingram is a free agent after this year, and he hasn't really ever gotten going in this offense. Arizona just lost Max Williams at the tight end position, and I could see a trade scenario in the next coming weeks where Arizona gets on the phone and makes a move to trade for Evan Ingram. Clear up the middle of the field here. Put Shepard and Toney out there 100% of the snaps together. And then when Galladay and Slayton are back, let them stay on the outside. Kadarius Toney can go inside and he could go outside, just like he showed in Dallas this past week. So there's no way we could take this guy off the field, whether Shepard is in or out of the offense. I'm a little worried about Tony this week. If he's going to be in the slot a ton, that's where Jalen Ramsey has, you know, been predominantly staying. I don't know if he if they look at the Giants' offense without a Galladay and Slayton and say, okay, Ramsey, you got the kid Tony, their biggest weapon this week without Barkley, going to be in the lineup as well. The Giants are going to be completely decimated coming into week six, and Ramsey could really slow Tony down. But this Tony hype train is on the move, and I look for big things the rest of the year from him, sort of just like the way OBJ back in the day as a first-round draft pick for the Giants came in the middle of the season and took off and helped fantasy teams win championships. I'm not going to say Tony's to that level, but he's a major piece in the puzzle of fantasy teams from here on out.
You know what I hate about the punching of the helmet is that now every defender is going to try to taunt him to get him to break.
And he's a head case too. So he's a little bit of a head case. So
we got, you know, I hope that they're able to get that stopped in some way. But unfortunately, he put two targets on himself, right? One, he's someone who loses control. So especially someone like Jalen Ramsey in the middle of the slot's going to be like, and we're going to see what happens there. And then two, he obviously put up 189 yards. So now, yeah, defenses are going to plan for that. So I don't think we're going to see that particular game again for a while. And certainly defenses that can handle it will. And so especially because there just aren't that many other pass catchers in the Giants. So yeah, I'm worried. I do not like the two targets. That's why I'm keeping it top 40. But still, again, for a lot of people, you could get him on waivers and it was awesome and you should feel good about it. So I'm still excited. I just am tempering it a little bit because I did not like the double target that he put on himself.
I like that. I can't figure him out. I can't figure out if the Giants are going to, if this is the start of something that you want to really latch on to and maybe even pay up big for him, or if it's like just an anomaly.
I'd be paying up big in Fab. If he's available for our
listeners. Not Fab, trade. I'm already talking trade.
Okay.
I mean, is he available anywhere anymore?
No, he shouldn't
be. No, come on, Chris.
Yeah, I know. So now I go from a high-stakes mentality of this guy's been owned all year long and he's not, to now the home league and now you want to get on me. Okay, I got you, Nando. That was good.
He's not Cordero Patterson territory, right? Like, if you're talking trade, or is he?
I would say...
No, not to me.
Cordero Patterson for Kadarius Toney trade?
It's fair. Yeah, I'm trying to find him on the scale.
It's right. Fair. I'm maybe a little higher on Tony than most, but I think that's fair.
How about like
the segment of the week where Nando makes 20 different trade scenarios.
I'm just trying to figure out like where
I love these. No, keep going because I love these. Go ahead.
Courtland Sutton
for Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, who would you rather have?
Courtland Sutton.
Bren.
Yeah, I'd rather have Sutton.
Well, you're a Broncos homer, so
he set you up right there. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like the worst homer that always has like negative opinions about the team. I'm like, ugh.
Amari Cooper?
I'll stop. Come on.
I'm serious. I'm asking.
No, like, I mean that's just ridiculous. Amari Cooper is a legit, you know, big time wide receiver. Nobody's making that trade.
But there's this huge drop off after these guys, like T. Higgins. I don't know, T. Higgins or Kadarius Toney.
I would do Toney.
Oh, I would do T. Higgins in a second.
There we go. Talk that out, you two.
No.
All right, how about Miles Gaskin?
I think it just comes down to, you guys know how I feel about Cincinnati. I just feel like it's too erratic.
It's what?
Too erratic of an offense.
Yeah, it is going to be too erratic, but it's a high-powered offense. And it looks like Jamar Chase is the clear every week one. He's been the consistent guy, but, you know.
Totally.
T. Higgins.
That's why I'm saying,
weeks.
Like, I think there's a possibility Tony is Chase. Right? I think that's because of that potential.
Oh, wow.
I would take him over Higgins because I think he could be the guy in the Giants that he really takes over. Even though I'm nervous, I'm just saying that there is that potential where I don't think T. Higgins is going to take over Chase, so he's always going to be number two, in my opinion.
I'm a big T. Higgins fan and in that offense. I think a lot of us forgetting about what T. Higgins is and how great of a receiver he is because he hasn't been around. You know, he played this past week, first game back after the injury, but T. Higgins is a solid high-end wide receiver too.
All right, well, So I assume, like, if Brandon had Kadarius Toney, no, wait. No, that trade wouldn't work at all because you two are, never mind.
Nobody knows.
These trade things are too confusing. Let's move on to the next topic. Shall we?
We shall.
All right. Let me skip around here a little bit. I don't know. Like, do you want to get into Fields and Trey Lance, or do you want to get off the league winners off the waiver wire?
Whatever you want to do.
Meh. We're done.
We have a full waiver wire show. Let's talk about Fields and Lance, because I do, like, I got a couple questions about Fields and, like, that trickle-down effect. Mm. We saw two bad games from Fields, one good one. I don't know what that means exactly. I thought the Bill Lazor play calling would have been the key, and then it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, where are you on Fields? Are you, like, I don't even know, like, you don't keep him on your bench right during these bye weeks. He's a drop candidate, but how strongly do you hold on to him, I guess?
I'm not. I mean, and especially now that there's, like, even a slight knee injury, you know, I just think that this coaching staff is just, like, dedicated to not, you know, letting him loose. And I don't think that this is going to get any better. He hasn't been over QB 30 all season, even in his good games. So he's not getting it done. And then, you know, Lance, you know, he's combined, you know, for 22 completions off of 47 pass attempts. So, you know, it's hard to commit to either right now. This is the problem with rookies, and this is why – it was okay to have them as, like, the second person because there's this potential and whatnot, and that could happen definitely toward the end of the season. But we're in bye weeks now. I don't know. I don't – there are very few teams where I feel 110% committed to their explosion, and I don't already have a pretty good option already that's been replacing them the majority of the season. So it's up to you guys, you know, as to, like, how, you know, you need to know what your league settings are, as I always say. But in my opinion, you know, we've got two, at bare minimum, very inconsistent plays right now at a position that typically you only need one of. And I just don't think that this is a big deal anymore. And it's too bad. Now, next year, am I going to draft them early? Sure, probably. I mean, I still think that potential is there. But, man, the circumstances don't look great, in my opinion. And certainly the stats haven't worked out. More so for Lance, though, of course. His stats have been much, much better. But I still think they're committed to Garoppolo when he comes back. And they're on bye this week. I think it's dicey. You got to make some bye week decisions. And so it's going to be tough.
Chris, these were two of your guys.
I wouldn't go that far. But they were everyone's lotto tickets at the quarterback position coming into this year. And I think with the Trey Lance lotto ticket, I think you could kind of rip it up and throw it off to the side, because now with the knee sprain, Shanahan looking like, yeah, we're going back to Jimmy G. And unless this team falls apart down the stretch, second half of the season, doesn't look like they're going to go back to Trey Lance. So I was hoping that he took the ball and ran with it, you know, big time and blew up in this game versus Arizona, but he really didn't. 89 rushing yards is what you want to see when you're investing in a fantasy quarterback. But it doesn't look like, you know, the job is going to be his out of the bye and going forward. So if you want to stash him in competitive leagues, yeah, sure. You don't drop either of these guys in competitive leagues. But, you know, for me going forward, it's definitely Fields over Lance, just because Fields has the job. But you got to hope that it turns around and he gives you more, because it hasn't been pretty for Justin Fields in Chicago at all. I can't see it staying this bad. He's got to start using his legs more and contributing. I thought he'd be an easy 50, 60 rushing yards every game, even if he was struggling to get to 200 passing. But, you know, it just needs to turn around. I can't use Fields until he picks his game up at all as a quarterback. But there's no dropping Justin Fields.
So I thought the way you did it, the way you explained it the preseason was get like a, I think it was something like below a Tannehill. Like the strategy was get like one of these kind of later-ish guys and then pair him with Fields and Lance because
what was happening is in the high stakes market is, you know, everybody was drafting Lance and Fields in that like 12, 13, that back end QB1, low end one as their first quarterback, knowing that neither one of these guys was starting from day one. But that's how much upside they carried coming into the season, especially as running quarterbacks. And what I did on a few teams was you know, take Fields or Lance and then back them up with a Kirk Cousins and a Sam Darnold, who I believed in. And, you know, I haven't used either one of these guys yet, Fields or Lance, and I've been doing well with Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold before this week. And, you know, it looks like I thought I had the opportunity now to be like, all right, I got through 4 or 5 weeks with the veteran, steady veteran, and now here it's coming. It's Fields and Lance time to take over and take over my team, you know, for the rest of the season. And it's been a huge stop sign. So now I'm like, uh-oh, I can't cash in the lotto ticket at the window. Now I'm back to just having some back-end veterans as my quarterbacks. I could do worse than Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold in working the wire, but I prefer to have the big dog at the quarterback position because my other teams that have the Lamars and the Josh Allens, like, I'm more comfortable playing that way than this other way. But it's going to, you know, I'm going to have to make do now.
Well, we all wish you luck.
Oh, thank you, Nando. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of us do.
No, I mean, it makes me feel, you know, warm and fuzzy when you tell me things like that.
All right, now back to the show. Wave a wire. Brandon, Mary, and Lee. How hard did you, since we're in normal leagues, go after, like, you know, the hot name? I think the hot name is Darrell Williams. I don't know how we're saying that. I should know that. Anyway, did you go, like, hard on him? It seemed like everyone was doing it, but I'm like more Jerick McKinnon-y, I guess.
Yeah, no, I did like the standard, like, $20.
Did you win?
I think I got him in one. Hey! The other ones I got him in, and then other people went wacky.
Did you kind of have the pull to someone else? Are you Dan Arnold, maybe?
I tried to get Dan Arnold for, I think I put in like for five or something, or maybe three. I can't remember. I didn't do like too much. But yeah, I mean, I also enjoy the Dan Arnold post trade usage spike from this week. And yeah, I mean, I win a little bit on that too. I'm worried about the McKinnon situation. However, I had some links where Darrell Williams was already on people's rosters. And I was like, really? That is some foresight. Dang. So good for them. But yeah, so I went okay. I just feel like at the beginning of the season, part of our complaints was that they didn't even need a running back. Right? The Kansas City Chiefs. We were all worried that, like, is Clyde, you know, people were even saying, you could draw Clyde Edwards-Helaire because they're nuts. But that was happening. So if he's not there anymore, I just have a tough time believing that all of a sudden, like, someone's going to be a big bell cow out of here. I'm not feeling it. So I'm with you. I kind of did but I always say this. Even if someone is so hyped up and you yourself are listening to all these podcasts and radio and you're reading all these articles and you're like, oh, everyone's going to go for this dude. Again, I just put in like the standard like 20, like whatever. And I was able to get him in some leagues. So you never know. So always just, even if you're not as hyped, if you're like, yeah, I'd take him for 20 just in case, go for it. Because you could end up with them. So I just want to continue that advice throughout the season. No matter how hyped you think someone is, people, especially starting now with the buys and everything else, a lot of people get busy. The season isn't as hot and sexy as it was in weeks 1 through 3. And so people are getting a little lazy. So you may still win. So still put it in.
Wednesday creeps up on you too.
It does. You know, and you're like, oh, night, I just watched football. How could I put in waivers on a Tuesday? Like, so
that's why they're supposed to be done on Wednesday night, Brandon.
No, there it is.
Yeah, we were waiting. We were teeing it up.
It sounds to me like they're done on Wednesday nights for people who want to see what everyone else did first and aren't confident.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is, Nando. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Chris, go ahead, man. I know you I'm guessing you have some kind of opinion on this.
No, I mean, listen, I think we got to temper expectations. Everybody's desperate for running back help. So, you know, Williams is going to be the hot guy off the wire and where he is available. But you know, this is only going to last 3 weeks. You know, Clyde's on IR. It's not like he's a season ender, so he's going to be back. But hey, if you're desperate at the running back position and you need a rental to fill in and get you those 10, 12 PPR points, then, you know, Williams is your guy. I don't think he steps in here and drops 25 fantasy points, but, you know, he comes attached to a high-powered offense. He's going to play, you know, the majority of the snaps. I think McKinnon will be the third down back. But you know what? Inside the five, I think it'll be Williams, and I think he could fall into the end zone, you know, these next couple of weeks and help you out. So I think it's, you know, more about what you need as a fantasy team right now. Maybe you're the Dalvin Cook owner and you're looking at the schedule going, okay, you know, he's got a bye week in week 7 and Maybe they sit him out again this week, so now I don't have him for three straight weeks. But these next two, I just need to get through and cover my RB1 spot. And, you know, same thing with a Saquon Barkley owner. Same with if you're the Clyde Edwards owner, you know, running backs are going down left and right. And Williams is the guy that can fill in here. You know, we last week it was Damian Williams. We saw what he could do. Khalil Herbert's another one on the wire. If you know weren't if people slept on him last week, he got 18 carries. You know, in the game last week and looked good doing it. So it's another name that you can help you out at the running back position this week.
Do you think that's going to go forward with like that? I mean, that kind of bulk.
For who?
The kind of volume?
For who are we talking?
For Khalil Herbert.
Yeah, I think it'll be, you know, like a 55-45. I think they're both, I think Herbert's established himself, you know, as someone that's not going to be kept off the field. It's not going to be where I think Damian Williams owners hope that he would step in and be the Montgomery and get, you know, 80% of the snaps. I think it'll be split pretty much down the middle, but I think they're both useful back-end RB2s.
Chris, you've been talking about Wayne Gallman the last couple of weeks as a sneaky ad. Mm. Is it, I mean, with him on a bye, and I guess you if you picked him up before, you're kind of still considering him a hold anyway, so the bye shouldn't have any bearing on it. But if you want to go after Herbert, you drop Wayne Gallman?
Or
is that too short-sighted?
No. You drop Gallman for Herbert, for sure. But, you know, the Gallman thing, I'll reiterate again, it's a long season and it's a long, you know, it's a longer outlook. And when you're in deeper leagues and there's nothing available on the wire and you see a Wayne Gallman there, it's just a back to put on. It's a bet. Again, I got a lot of this in my comment section about Gallman. Oh, I don't understand what you're seeing with Gallman. I'm not seeing anything. I know what Gallman is. I know he's a decent back. I know if given the opportunity, he'll be better than Mike Davis. And that's what I'm banking on. I'm banking on at, you know, week 9, 10 as a stash, as the RB6 you don't need on your bench, that they continue, you know, they fade Mike Davis out of this offense. They're never going to give Cordarrelle Patterson 80% of the, you know, the carries or whatever. So it's a bet against the starter, Mike Davis, and hopefully you look up in week 10 or 11 and Gallman is getting 60% of the carries in this backfield. That's
Brandon. I also want to add John Brown to the equation here.
He's good old John Brown.
Denver Broncos. And the Broncos just keep, I mean, they are just snake bit with injuries. It is really unfortunate what's going on over there. So check on him if you're in a deep league for sure. And then Jerry Jeudy should be coming back soon too. No one's talking about that. And if you're in a league where that doesn't have IR and someone was ridiculous, he may be available and or you could still maybe trade for him low in a package deal. So I would think about those two players as well.
I really hope Jeudy. I'm praying that Judy's back in week. I mean, I don't think he'll be back in week 7. But if I can get him back in all my lineups in week 8, he's probably my highest owned player. That'd be great to get him back week 8. And then, you know, it's not only just getting him back, it's how is he going to react to, you know, the high ankle sprain that's usually a death, you know, a death kill for, you know, wide receivers.
We have to wrap this up. Our producer, Michael Beller, has got another show. But really quickly, Brandon, in honor of you being back, Tavon Austin had five receptions, five targets, 54 yards, but played only 34% of the snaps this week. He was in 73% the week before. I know he's not going to be the new Cordarrelle Patterson, but is this, you know, the chart starting to go up and ascend, or is it empty because he didn't play in a lot of snaps?
I'm so glad we're ending on this.
Chris requested it. Chris just texted me. He's like, "Hey, can we just wrap up with Cordarrelle?"
Look at that. You can't even get Cordarrelle off your brain or Tavon
with
Austin.
The next Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, listen. The season is long, my friend. You listener may have to at some point plug and play Tavon Austin because it's getting brutal out there. That is not a compliment to anyone. It's just where we're at. So yeah, sure. I mean,
you have to play Tavon
Austin. I don't think
your season's going nowhere.
It's tragic, but you know, it's happening. So no, I think it's really important to point out that Cordarrelle Patterson is an anomaly, and I do want to say that 9 times out of 10, snap count does matter. So if someone's only playing in 30% of the snaps, there's typically a reason for that, and you need to keep your eye out. But you know, it's going to be interesting. And I just think that, you know, we're in weird bye week territory, and you know, this also means that you need to be super cognizant of this for your trades in terms of value as to who's had to buy and who hasn't and the timing. You can kind of get players lower sometimes if they are on their buy. It may give you a rough week, but if you're going to have a rough week anyway, look at your schedule. Is there a week where you have so many people on buy it doesn't matter, and maybe that's the week you really change things on your team? Think about it. You're probably going to lose anyway, so why not just pick up someone who's also on buy and get a deal there? So I just want to say, you know, so that, and then that maybe that'll be the week you play Tavon Austin because no one else is available. But the point is that this is exciting times, and we are going to have to start talking about these deeper cuts. And I'm just glad it was on the rundown, because I was like, I feel like I'm home when Tavon Austin is on the rundown.
For the listeners at home, can you please tweet at Nando to screenshot all his teams that have Tavon Austin rostered, so we know he's not a fraud and he's putting his money where his mouth is with Tavon Austin, please?
Why do I come on here every day and be like, I have Tavon Austin on all my teams?
Well, I mean, you should have him rostered,
What about Tavon Austin?
You should have him rostered and playing him, right?
Yeah. If you're talking, I do.
I think
about
you have him
much.
In the league we're in, don't you? I think you have.
Yeah,
him
I got him. That team is. I'm 0-5. That's no. A disaster.
You're not 0-5. No way.
It's been such bad
There's
luck.
No way. There's no way.
Now you're being sarcastic. All right, we'll take this.
No way.
I have the worst team in that league by far. Like, my team is trash. If you looked at it on paper, you'd be like, that's the worst team ever. I'm in third out of 14 teams. I'm killing it in that league. But if you looked at the team, you're like, there's no way this woman has won one of these games. So you know what? Sometimes you just got to plug and play. You know, I've got like Mike Davis, Daryl Henderson. I got Damian Harris, like people you're like, whatever, you know, but the rest of the team's just like booing. This is why you keep playing, everybody. You just keep playing, you keep your head down, keep making the best moves, and it's going to eventually work out. And even if you're 0-5 right now, you can catch up, especially in ones where points four gets the last spot, or if there are a lot of people that get into the playoffs. Like this is actually a great week to look at the future, like look at the whole season again, because we get very week by week. Look at your whole season and say, what is my path to the playoffs? Because once you're in the playoffs, who cares, right? We're all on the same plane. So got to find your path to playoffs. You can do it.
All right, on that note, we got to go. Thank you all for joining us. Hope you enjoyed this. Welcome back, Brandon, Marianne Lee. We'll see you next week. It's Chris comes and knocks me out and I'm not around for it, but thank you all for listening. I'll see you later. Bye.